Here comes Belsky, our guy from BMO Capital Markets, chief investment strategist, and he's the leader of the investment strategy group. I have not been asked to be part of the investment strategy group. I mean, think I've known Belsky forever. I could be at least a part of the group. He's the leader. I could just blend in, couldn't I?
You could just throw things out there, spitball a little bit with the rest of the group?
Just nod a lot. Yep. Good point, Brian. Mm-hmm. Excellent point, Brian. Hey, how about happy hour, Brian? You know, things like that. Belsky is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We saw you yesterday on the TV. I believe you were on the CNBC. Your glasses game is excellent. How many glasses do you have?
Well, listen, first off, thanks for having us. Second, I'm a value guy, knowing, you know, obviously, you know, I'm from Wilmer, so I'm a big Warby Parker guy. I mean, so I can get two or three for the price of one.
Yeah.
I probably have five or six pairs of glasses.
Oh, I think he's downplaying it here again. I mean, we see him a lot. You have different glasses on every time, and they work. Harrigan, you agree, right?
They make him look very studious, like he's really, I mean, this
well,
is your money.
Are you saying when he's in studio he looks dumb and then he's on TV?
When he comes in here, he's not usually wearing the glasses, but all of a sudden he goes on TV and I got to be Mr. Smart Guy.
Oh, so Dave's suggesting you don't even need the glasses. They're an effect.
Oh,
they're
gosh.
A prop. Whoa.
I'll tell you two things quickly. First of all, there's a branch in BMO that has bets on what pair of glasses I'm going to wear when I come and do a branch visit.
I like that. It's very good.
Secondly, I was just telling somebody at dinner the other night that people do not recognize me when I don't have my glasses on. When I have my glasses on, they recognize me. So now when I'm walking through airports, I make a practice of not wearing glasses. Otherwise, people will come up to you and say, Brian, what do you think of Microsoft? You know, I'm there to walk to the gate, please. I mean, thank you very much for stopping me.
Who was that guy who asked you? Do that voice. Who was that right there? All right, so David also sounds like Belsky has a dual life. Like he's one guy with the glasses and without the glasses. I mean,
he's like Superman. You know, the glasses are his suit. He takes them off.
No one. Right, Clark I guess Kent. The dual exists. I'm a North Loop guy 5 months of
Barcelona,
the year. Barcelona guy 7 months.
Barzana, Maison Margot. Then you're not glasses guy. Then you go on TV. Then you're glasses guy. By the way, the original guy is Pat the glasses guy.
I like it.
Yeah, going back to KFAN lore. Okay,
long time. Yeah.
Let's start this. The state of the American economy is fill in the blank.
Steady as she goes. Last time I said that, there's some comments on that. I mean, mm-hmm. people will worry about remember that. And I think, listen, you never, ever, ever discount the U.S. consumer on an annual basis. GDP is coming in at 2.8%. Remember, last quarter was 3%. On an annualized basis, it's still like 3.7%. So we're still growing. But I think what people are missing is that we don't talk enough about that we're still the best house in a kind of in neighborhood that's still pretty volatile around the world, whether or not it's China or Europe. Or clearly what's going on in the Middle East. So I think that's why the U.S. economy has been so strong. And we're going to continue to be strong. And now that rates are kind of starting to soften a little bit, the only kind of blemish that I looked through the year or quarter over quarter growth rates were residential housing. And I think that's probably because, believe it or not, even though the Fed cut rates, the 30-year treasury, 30-year mortgages are based off of the 10-year treasury. So 10-year treasuries have actually gone up. And so that's why mortgage rates have actually gone up. But that's pretty standard after the Fed starts cutting. Rates on the bond market always go up a little bit.
Can I stay with the comparison between the other countries? Because I don't think that's emphasized enough. So, listen, people should hate inflation. People should hate what happened to the economy when the pandemic. The idea that if Donald Trump would have been there, everything would have been magical, that's silly. It's also possible his policies may have worked better. We can have that debate. But when you compare how this country has rebounded compared to other Western nations, expand on that.
Well, you see, is going to Canada, they've had so much change in terms of demographics, and they have a lot of problems with respect to how and what they're paying out, and they've had a lot of problems on the expense side. And their revenues obviously have kind of faltered, meaning they're trying to crank up taxes. And a lot of people are, what's interesting in Canada, that you're seeing people leaving these higher tax provinces going to areas like Alberta, which is a lower tax province. That's our neighbor to the north. In terms of Europe, Europe also has demographic problems. They have more, political problems. And then you've had a war going on there, which has actually caused a lot of inflation on the energy side and on the, on the food side. Remember, the Ukraine is known as Europe's breadbasket in terms of wheat and corn and the like. So that's been a big problem. Now, not to mention China. Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, I had the good fortune of watching that Commanders game on Sunday. I was watching the Commanders game in the Hail Mary pass.
Yeah,
oh,
for
sure.
That's
what
crazy.
What China's done is a quote-unquote Hail Mary. They're throwing fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus. They're trying to get things going. And from our lens, I don't think they're going to do very well. And that's why we've said all along that when you're an investor, stay home, stay in America. We've got the best companies on the planet. There's no sense in trying to outsmart yourself and invest elsewhere.
Okay, somebody sends a text here about housing. Why are housing prices so high? That's the real issue. Zero in on that and its impact on the economy.
Well, it's a great question because we've had a real limited amount of supply. I mean, just look at all the apartments going up and the condos going up, trying to go up in Minneapolis. Look at the average. I think I saw last week the average home price in the state of Minnesota is $404,000. Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. I go back to when I moved back to Minnie from L.A. in 1993. It wasn't $404,000, I'll tell you that. And so we've seen a lot of inflation there. I think it's probably because of raw material costs, especially the last year, have gone up due to inflation. The last time we saw a major kind of raw material cut was 2020 and 2021 when rates were going down in a lot of wood and pulp and concrete and things like that were really going down. So we've had higher raw material costs. That's why a lot of these builders are not building out. So the affordability with respect to housing has clearly not been there. And so America, even in Minneapolis, I mean, we're way behind on the supply side in terms of building. And that's why I think the next 2 to 3 years, as inflation gets down back down to the Fed's target of 2%, you're going to see raw material costs go down, and you're going to see the builders, a lot of these building companies, start to add supply.
This is Brian Belsky, our friend for a number of decades now, excellent on the economy. You see him on CNBC often. He's with BMO. He's their chief investment strategist. Okay, the tariff conversation, which we've had many times before, but when the former president is out, he just was finished up in North Carolina. I'm sure tariffs came up. What is your sense? Because we can look at this a number of ways that, I mean, Trump fantasizes about the word. It's the greatest word in the English language. He used some of his leverage during his first term. He enacted some tariffs. The Biden folks pushed back at it. Some of those tariffs they kept on. There are individuals who are economists who are fearful of the amount of tariffs that Trump is talking about. And others say, calm down. This is leverage. This is what he's trying to exact from China and other countries. How do you read this whole conversation?
Well, thanks for bringing up that Biden kept a lot of the tariffs. People forget that, number one. Number two, there's an old saying that when you're telling somebody a story, you got to tell them, you got to tell them again, you got to tell them one more time. But Trump tends to do that times three. He keeps on saying the same thing over and over again. It's called perseverating, by the way. But this is classic Trump / art of the deal. It's peace through strength. It's the Reagan type thing on that side, but also on the tariff side, he's just trying to get better terms. That's all this is. He's using this as just like he did with respect to the defense side of things, peace through strength. And this is a negotiating plea. He knows the economy. I don't think he's going to be going all out with respect to tariffs with in terms of China, more so because we want to bring more and more manufacturing back, as did Biden brought more and more manufacturing back. But I think the Europe side, in the antitrust and the regulation side of things, actually could be a bigger deal with respect to not doing tariffs there, but also being, from a regulatory standpoint, having less regulation.
You mentioned it earlier, and again, Brian Belsky's with us, steady as we go. That's your mantra so often, that you buy America, we'll get through challenges. We've been on this long roll, and you think that long roll is going to continue. But if it's President Harris versus President Trump, they have very different views on the economy. So let's go out 18 months, and it's now July of 2026. Will we see discernible, significant change in the economy if we had the opportunity to witness a Harris economy versus a Trump economy?
I'll put a rider on that, Chad, because you need to know what Congress is. Is Congress split?
Good point.
And remember, the House is the one that has purse strings and spend the money. And so it's a lot of Republicans don't like to hear this, but traditionally Democrats across the board do better, principally because in over a 4-year time period in terms of performance. Now, again, don't send the hate mail. It's mostly because of with the way that the math works out. And the way that the math works out, unfortunately, has, you know, like poor George W. Bush had 9/11 and the tech wreck, coming out of the tech wreck, which was at the end of the big blow up with respect to the bubble and Clinton, and then had the great financial crisis, and then the fantastic rebound Obama had in 2009, 2010, and 11. So a lot of those numbers are skewed. You got to take two steps back and have some perspective. But I would say this. We think that politics, we know this from our research, politics have nothing to do with the absolute performance of the stock market. It really is about the trajectory of what's going on in the economy and in stocks. And I think you can just say this, that Trump's going to be more business friendly, so that's a positive. On the regulation side, I don't think people are talking enough about the regulation side. Trump's going to be less regulatory. Harris is going to be more regulatory. And taxes are going to go up under Harris with respect to corporate taxes. And that's going to be her big push. Now, whether or not she's going to be able to get that corporate tax hike over and across the finish line really depends upon Congress.
Sure.
So don't give either one of these presidents any credit until we know what the makeup of Congress is.
Good stuff. Always appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see you here soon. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, Chad.
Our friend Brian Belsky, Chief Investment Strategist with BMO Capital Markets. Let's touch on a number of sports items. We're going to have some fun with Susie in about 15 minutes. She's made some chili. We'll talk about the chili. We'll talk about various things with Susie. But let's get to Flurry. Let's get to the Mookie nonsense. And one other sports item that I'm forgetting right now. But we're going to get to Paige Beckers and her shoe, her precedent-setting shoe. All that's next on CCO. Want to expand here on the music theme?
Well, like I said, we're mixing in a little candy corn music, but the main theme today is celebrating the man who's made news all over the globe, I think, today, being our friend from Iowa, who has now visited every single pizza ranch restaurant there is. Congratulations to him. So we've got ranch-themed music today.
Right. He visited all 244 in Iowa. That's a lot of pizza ranches, by the way.
A lot of pizza ranches.
What would you have guessed? I would have guessed like 75 pizza ranches.
No. The 244, was that only in Iowa? Or was that, I think that's total.
Was it total?
I think that's total.
Okay.
They were talking, he's, you know, been to all of them in Minnesota, Dakotas, you know, down to Nashville.
I saw the headline. I didn't go to the core.
Yeah, you don't
of the story.
Really dig deep on the big stories. I get that.
On the pizza rat story, I thought I could handle it from the headline.
No.
Apparently I didn't.
Reading the story, you were learning about some of the side trips he's taken, checking out the parts of the Oregon Trail when he made it up that way, heading down to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Well, then
in
that's
Nashville.
Pretty good.
Yes, he's been to all
I
of them.
I should have. Do I need to offer up a Joe Biden like apology? You know what it was? It was my apostrophe.
Yeah. You didn't have to call him garbage.
Yeah. Okay, if you could visit 244 restaurants, which restaurant would it be? Text away. And then you get to see the country.
Yes, you do.
Which is a cool side. But you need to consume the food at said restaurant. By the way, Meritage doesn't count. Okay?
There has to be this many? Is that what you're saying?
I think it has to be a chain, right?
Okay. A big-time chain where there plausibly could be 200
plus. I would love if I
could
visit
plus.
Just Russell Klein restaurants all across America.
Murray's.
Sign me up. Yeah, give me Murray's, too. You know, I'm all for it. How about Paige Beckers? By the way, Team Paige, right from the start, saw her eighth grade. Quinny's performing at halftime at Wayzata Hopkins. All of a sudden, there's this eighth grader who's dominating the action. I'm like, who in the heck is that?
And not an eighth grade game.
No, that was a varsity game. I think it was number one and number two in the state, and she was by far the best player out there. So Paige, how about this? Paige Beckers will make history as the first college basketball player to ever get a Nike sneaker release. And it's a cool-looking shoe, right?
Great-looking shoe.
Light blue, white, multiple shades of purple decorate the sneaker. Debuted over the summer with a female-focused design. It'll include 860 for UConn and 612 for hometown Edina. I always thought Paige, I know she played Hopkins. I, for some reason, thought she was from Hopkins also. I was under the impression that she was actually the rare Hopkins student who was actually from Hopkins. Doesn't matter.
No.
But let's just hope Edina gets a break.
Yeah, you know? It's nice of them to get some notice.
Right? So, great thing. Again, this is all coming. And I don't know this. But the fact that Paige Beckers gets the first one, and by the way, anybody who doesn't think, for some reason you think she'll just be an okay WNBA player, I think you're a fool. I think she's going to be a superstar. I am still all in. And let's not forget, as they battled all the way up to college in their recruiting class every single year, Paige Beckers won, Caitlin Clark too. And obviously Caitlin has stayed healthier. Caitlin has been spectacular. But let's see Paige now fully past her injuries. She's going to be a star. What do you want to say about the dopes, the fools, and what they did with Mookie down the right field line at Yankee Stadium last night?
That was some incredibly clownish behavior.
Yeah.
I'm still befuddled by, okay, the one guy reaching in the glove and pulling out the ball. That's one thing. But then the buddy grabbing Mookie's bare hand?
Yeah.
Wow. Kick those guys out of MLB ballparks for life.
I would boot them at minimum for a year. And the bold statement today is they're not allowed in the stadium for tonight's game.
Wow. Thank you.
Courage.
Thank you, Bronx Bombers.
Courage.
I'm sure they had tickets, too.
Yeah. We had the play earlier, Dodger Stadium, leaning over. We've had many other plays. We were talking Bartman a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
This is belligerent.
This is malice intended.
Right? This is, hey, we think it wasn't just they wanted the ball. They were trying to influence the play. Did they think the game was just on radio? And that those guys on the field were just guys who could just stand out there? They're not really umpires? A year minimum, right? All ballparks.
Yeah, I said for life. I think MLB will be just fine without those two fans showing up.
It was a sports viewing spectacular last night.
Yes, it was.
Okay. On Impact, it's clearly World Series, right? And then on Impact, number two, to me, clearly was Fleury going back to Pittsburgh. And three, oh, by the way, rematch of the Western Conference Finals. Wolves and Mavericks. Maybe try to rebound a little bit. Maybe don't turn the ball over.
Okay.
Edwards was scintillating in the first quarter. I mean, he was unbelievable. But then Kyrie, I mean, I think he likes Target Center right now.
Yeah.
And then Luka really wasn't great. And Rudy stopped him multiple times. Then he hits the shot, by the way. Don't give me 33 feet. Okay.
It was at least 40.
That's 2.5 strides from half court.
No,
right?
I think it was actually from the opposite free throw line. It was so deep.
By the way, on a couple brutal non-calls, because Lively goes over the back of Gobert and then Washington steps out of bounds. But, you know, it's not even close to panic time for the Wolves, right? But you can see some issues. Conley's not close to himself right now. And you worry about that because he's 37. And defensively, they're not close to themselves. And the idea, if you would have told most people until maybe later last year when Cat started, especially after Cat continued to fare well against Joker, that the number one area they'd miss Karl Towns right now is defense. And by the way, I don't think anybody in New York could say, wow, Cat is such a great defensive player. But they're not close defensively to where they were last year. But Fleury, we've never had this in Minnesota. I don't think we've ever had it. We're a member of a dynasty. They won 3 titles. A guy at his position is a top 10 all-time player. He's won 563 games as a goaltender, second all-time. Think about that. 563. Where that guy comes back to Minnesota, and you know it's it. I guess the only thing would have been somebody from the Minneapolis Lakers or the Lynx. Because, you know, I thought Harmon a little bit. Well, the Twins had a couple good runs with Harmon. But when he came out of Kansas City, you thought it was probably it. But I don't think he completely knew. Rodney Klein when he came back with the Angels. But again, they didn't win 3 titles. And as great as they are, they're not top 10 all time like Fleury is at his position.
Yeah.
I mean, now maybe, you know, Rodney played obviously 2 positions. Harmon, Harmon played 2 positions too, mainly first and third. But that is so rare. And I was clicking, but I made sure I watched the last 5 minutes. And he had made some great saves earlier. The way the crowd reacted, the way he reacted, when they're chanting his name, when Crosby and Letang stay out there, the reverence that the Wild players have for him, it was great, great theater last night.
It is pretty good. Just to watch after the game, when, as you said, Crosby and Letang stay out there doing the 3 stars, and he's skating around and hugging and throwing his stick to some folks in the crowd.
It was awesome.
Yeah, great, great theater.
And then he was interviewed on Pittsburgh TV. It was really good stuff. All right, Susie. And we're going to shout some of Susie's chili while we talk about some normal nonsense with Susan K. Jones next on CCO.
Well, guess who's joining us today?
Susan K. Jones.
Not even she knows what she'll say.
Susie Jones.
If you cross her, she will set you straight.
Susan K. Jones.
Or she might be looking for a date.
Susie Jones.
Hey, Susie, glad to have you here on board.
Susie Jones.
I do that all the time. Don't even go there with your joke. Susie, what do you have to say? Susie? She forgot, didn't she?
Certainly seems that way.
It's like,
either that or she completely destroyed the microwave and realized this time she can't walk away.
What if she's working on a news story that is breaking?
She would have passed that off to somebody else. You know that's true.
That's fair. She would have. You know, shockingly, I screwed up clock management this time with a little bit of intent.
Sure.
To try to give. I mean, it's easy.
We believe that.
It's easier for me to do it because I do it most of the time anyway. But to try to give Susie a little bit more time, Susie had suggested on air we have some chili.
Back on Monday. Exactly. Talked about it yesterday.
Yes, talked about it multiple times today at 12 o'clock, at 1 o'clock.
How's 1:35 work for you, Susie? That sounds great, Chad. Perfect. I'll be here.
Absolutely.
She brought the bowls from home. Saw the bowl lineup.
Cute bowls. Nice setup. She's like, I'm going to take pictures and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe she's still taking pictures right now.
Could be. She's like the Ansel Adams of chili cooks.
It is also possible. She absolutely destroyed the microwave And because we've needed Lou so much that she's the only – well, she's not the only person who doesn't clean up here, but she's the main one.
Yes.
Who doesn't clean up here.
Yes.
Including leaving the microwave in a way the other day that you had to fix it while wearing a hazmat suit.
Oh, just yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes. Wiping out the oatmeal that somehow spilled from the bowl. And she, I didn't even notice it was all over the rotating plate deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So which chain? Do you have a chain restaurant? If you're going to pick one chain restaurant. Wait, we have a text from Susie?
Yes, she's heating it up right now.
Oh! Oh.
9 minutes and 22 seconds after we agreed on the time.
Yeah.
That's fine.
What if, for principal, she brings in and we just say, missed your window.
Yeah, too late.
Too late.
No, I can't do that to a good bowl of chili.
No, I can't. as a gag to Susie, potentially. Which?
Oh, we forgot to remind her, she says.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Do you have a particular chain that you would visit?
I'm trying to think of one where I wouldn't have to get the same thing every time.
That's good. Versatility.
And I think Applebee's doesn't get enough credit. I'm going to say Applebee's because I can get a burger or a steak or some chicken. You can get a little pasta. You can get a salad. Applebee's is the one.
That's probably a better call. I was leaning to Jersey Mike's because I think Jersey Mike's is so good. Subway and Jimmy John's, get out of here. And also, I'd like to see Danny DeVito.
That would be nice.
You know, just saying, Rieger! You know, just see if he's there.
They make a good Sammy. And, you can get at least the cold Sammy plus the hot Sammy at Jersey Mike's. That's good.
You can't get the veggies, though, and the variety that you're talking about. Longhorn Steakhouse, I know of.
Yeah, I've not been.
Cracker Barrel. Starbucks, because that would send me everywhere. Well, we said in the United States. If you're a coffee addict, right there.
I mean, if you have to go to every Starbucks, you get a cup here, you walk 20 feet, you get a cup there.
Yes.
You'd be very jolted.
Yes, that's a lot of caffeine. Multiple Olive Garden. You like those breadsticks, right?
One of the great overrated food items, by the way, the Olive Garden breadstick. They're fine at best.
You don't like breadsticks?
Breadsticks in general are fine. But the Olive Garden, people go nuts for it's no different than any other breadstick. No different.
Texas Roadhouse, again, free bread. Yeah. Stuckey's. Mm-mm. Waffle House, after 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Red Lobster.
See, the Cheddar Bay Biscuits. Now, that is a great food item that people rightfully go nuts for.
Red Lobster, overrated. And let's see, there's one more here. Where did it go?
Adam Carter saying Chi-Chi's?
Hooters, LOL.
I mean.
Yeah. Should we pause here to wait for Susie and see if she makes it by the 3 o'clock update?
God knows how long it's going to take.
God knows what she's doing in the microwave. Hauser, early next hour on CCO. I mean, we played your open and everything.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did you? There you go.
Oh, I like that song.
Gross. Candy corn.
I know, but the song's cool.
Song's cool. Okay. What happened? Did you forget?
I did.
Yeah. That happens.
I'm sorry.
That happens. Dave Harrigan, you're going to try your chili live on the radio here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've had a few.
Okay.
I'm going to go a second.
Okay.
In my review of Susan K. Jones's chili,
right.
Dave is mixing it up right now. Excellent bowl, by the way.
Thanks.
A square bowl, multicolor.
Yep.
Looks good, and I think it functions well.
Yes, and I thought of it this morning because I thought, I'm not just going to come in and dump some on a paper plate and say, have at it.
No.
I thought I want to present it well.
Presentation does matter. Dave is,
he's licking his fingers. We don't have any paper towel in here.
Yeah. Caviar? What's taking you so long?
I'm trying to do it right. I'm trying to get a little bit of everything in the bite. So we've got multiple beans in here. Mm-hmm. We've got a little meat, the tomatoes. I'm trying to get
a little bit of something. You could go back for a second spoon. You're allowed to do that.
Hey, you said I had to do it on air.
Okay.
I'm going to do it the right way.
All right.
Excuse me?
How does it smell?
It smells good.
Okay.
That's a good bowl of chili.
You're just saying that.
No, I'm not. I'm not just saying that. That's a good bowl of chili.
Thank you.
What makes it good? Why is it good? Why is it okay?
Well, thankfully it's heated. I know it took a while to get that done, but it is heated,
mm-hmm.
so that helps. I think you oversold the hotness.
Okay.
I was expecting a little bit more spice the way you talked about it on Monday. It's not terribly spicy, but it's got a little. It's got enough in there for me to say this isn't just soup.
Yep.
This is real.
Now, your boss, Lindsay Peterson, has come in.
Guess why?
Yeah.
Tell why.
What happened?
Well, I'm a news director.
Yeah.
I lean into facts.
Yeah. Seems like that's what you should do.
I was in, and I'm not one to throw Susie under the bus.
Never.
Yeah.
I was with her in the kitchen earlier today complimenting her bowls, and she decided to tell me how she made the chili. And I asked, and chili powder, right? And she said, no, I didn't put chili powder in it. So
there's no
chili powder.
Excuse me.
In the chili. It's chili without chili powder, which makes it meat soup.
Yeah.
You know what? It has cayenne pepper.
Mm-hmm.
It has onions and garlic. A lot of good flavors. But I did not put chili powder.
One glaring omission.
Okay. Now, you did forget to come in here about 10 minutes late. Did you have the chili powder ready and you forgot? Or you decided to make it without the chili powder?
I don't think much thought went into it. I was following a recipe on Google. And
I think it had chili powder.
It was the recipe hamburger soup.
No. But I did. I was really careful because I didn't want it too spicy. So I put the cayenne in and the cumin and all the other ones, but I must have missed it.
How's your goulash?
Yeah, that's a big one to miss.
I know, but it still tastes good, doesn't it?
It does.
But now that he says that, is there a missing element?
Yes, chili.
Yes.
You didn't even try it. You can't say
I don't need to try it to know it's missing chili.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like, again, it's good.
Yeah, thank you.
And I appreciate it. It's very kind. But it doesn't taste like typical chili.
Susie homemade.
And I was thinking, she told us the other day I was going to have some zip. It has no zip.
It has a little zip. I put a fourth of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper.
Okay.
It's got Minnesota.
Okay, from the state where ketchup is a spice.
Oh, my God. Seriously, that spice?
Where? Wells was right.
Oh.
Well, I like it.
I do, too.
Mm.
But I think Lindsay stealed this.
I do, too. Now that I taste it.
If we would label this, hamburger bean soup is what we would call
it. High protein.
High protein.
Yep.
You know,
thanks, Lindsay.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You know what that'll be? 5 more vacation days.
From pain and suffering.
Yes. I mean,
take time off to learn a recipe.
You know what I'm bringing you tomorrow? I'm going to swing by chili powder.
Just leave it at work in case.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave it right there. I mean, can I just go? If somebody, I mean, God knows DeRusha might have his spice rack here with him. If I just put the chili powder in there right now. Would it make it taste a little more like chili? Probably doesn't work that way.
I was just going to say, no, it doesn't have to kind of simmer.
Yeah,
but I could. I still have quite a bit of it left at home. You know, I made a big gargantuan pot. I probably could put it in and put it on a slow, like a warm, and let it simmer into it. No?
How big was that gigantic gargantuan pot that you put? What was it, a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper in?
Yeah.
So... another fact-based question from Dave Aragon. So in other words, this is in like one of the biggest pots that we all have,
yeah,
right?
It is.
And you're going to freeze this.
Yeah, I am, but I might put some chili powder
in. Okay, but hang on a second. So this is probably, and these are smaller bowls.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you could have about 30 of these bowls out of the chili that you make.
Yes.
Okay. And you put in this small amount of cayenne pepper, and you thought that was going to make it spicy?
I didn't want it to be too hot, because I won't eat it.
It's not. I can assure you.
Next week, I'm going to try a different recipe. Every week, I'm going to try a recipe.
Oh, I'd love that.
And I'm going to bring it in. We're going to taste test it on the air, and we'll try to determine what ingredient I forgot.
Wait. There's a cheeseburger here. It's got an excellent bun. It's got cheese. It's got pickles. Where's the burger? That would be a perfect.
Come on.
I enjoy it.
I love you guys, and I would like to have fun, and I'm going to make food for you next week.
That is very kind.
Okay.
Thank you, Susie.
Yes.
Susie's here for the 2 o'clock update. I want to remind folks, we occasionally post some photos on the Instagram. Susie, are you on the Instagram? Mm-hmm. Are you S Jones WCCO?
Yep.
S Jones WCCO. I'm Chad Hartman Show. We're also on Twitter. She's also S Jones WCCO. This guy, Dave Harrigan, is Dave underscore Harrigan, and I'm Chad Hartman Show. Next hour, Tom Hauser. Let me pose here for the picture with Susie and the chili.
Put that up on the
line. Yeah, put that on the Instagram. Hauser, a little bit on the Biden garbage talk. We covered a lot of that early. The polling and other events, what's going on politically in the state of Minnesota with Hauser next hour.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.